Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and tonight on the line we have Dr. Denise Ray, CEO and founder of Lady Ease Wear. And how are you today, Dr. Ray? I think I messed up your
name. I am fabulous with a capital F, Verna. Thank you so very much for having me.
Oh, it's definitely our pleasure, definitely our pleasure. Now, if you could tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself, what you have going on, and I am very much interested in this fabulous product that you have, and the name of it is Lady Ease Wear. Tell us a
Lady
little bit about
Ease
that.
Lady Ease Wear, yes. Well, let's just say that I work with both sides of my gift, left side, right side. Left side is the Dr. Ray side, and so she has a long history of doing a lot of things, and one of the things that she did was she was a clinical first responder. I'm actually retired from that part of myself now. However, being a clinical responder sent me into every disaster, either man-made or natural disaster on U.S. soil in the last 25 years. One of those disasters, of course, was 9/11. While I'm there at 9/11, the particulate matter, the air, was so bad that I thought about women needed a pretty face mask. So I created a washable, reusable face mask, which actually is what put me in the manufacturing business in the first place. And how I got to the manufacturing component from there was that there was nobody on U.S. soil that could make my mask. All of the manufacturers had gone out of the country over to someplace else. And so just being who I am from the East Coast, just adamant about keeping my product and my business and my money in the United States, I stood up my own manufacturing company. Would I do that the same way now? The answer is no, because I had no experience in manufacturing, and it is a beast with a capital B. But at any rate, going through, you know, all of the changes, the stumbles in the road, it taught me a valuable lesson, and so now I am in a position to help other people, help other young people, doesn't matter how old you are, who want to go into manufacturing on the American soil, because, again, you need to have somebody with experience who understands how this beast grows in order to help you. So with that, having fit models, what we call fit models in the factory for my clothing line also, they had a few imperfections that they just wanted to smooth out. And so I thought, you know, there are many shapewears on the market. But for me, the research showed that most of them are compression garments and they hold way too much pain for women when they're wearing them. So I set out to do what I do a lot, especially on the left side of my brain, which is the research part. And the doctor in me came up with a product that not only would keep you cool, because we don't use nylon in our product, and it was also going to shape your curves and not compress your organs. And so we came up with this product, but again, having designers here in Hawaii, we're very diverse community. So my designers were actually from Japan and other places, and so what they produced for me initially was not conducive to the market that I sought, and that market was brown women with curves. And so I ended up...
Okay.
I ended up coming up with a product that actually did not work 4 years ago. So I had to go back to the drawing board and find what? Find the person, the designer, who understood curves and understood how to make that shapewear so that it fit the women that I was targeting. And so we came up with the Lady Ease Wear line, and that's a very colorful line with pink and purple and blues in it, yellow. And so out of that line, I thought, you know what, for years, and I've bought shapewear myself, for years I've been spending thousands of dollars, and so have my sisters been spending billions of dollars in the marketplace for what I call an ashy nude. We may as well just not put lotion on if we're going to wear what they consider nude for us. So, okay, from that came, okay. I said, we need our own nudes, okay? And so my nudes are not your nudes is how this whole title came about. So the M-I-N-U-D-E-S is actually my nudes. And so the My Nude collection came out of the Lady Ease Wear line. And I launched that first because I wanted to pay tribute to women of color, brown women who had for, again, years spent billions of dollars on products that just did not work with their skin tone. So now we have mahogany and bronze and chocolate and cocoa. And so, again, not only do we have those colors for skin tone, but we also have a product that will shape our curves and not compress them.
Oh, that sounds is the product sold in any other market? I mean, is it sold closer? Give me some areas.
Well, we're online, and again, one of the ways that we're going to get into those boutiques and into those stores is by having these conversations that we're having right now, Verna. So that makes me so appreciative for you to allow me to come on your show and speak to your listening audience about this product that is, again, my news collection is directed specifically to women of color. So we're on a campaign to get it all over the place, to get it into places where women can buy it, wherever you're located at. And so, but it has to be the women that start this campaign and ask for the product.
Okay. Now, going forward, you say into the manufacturing business was pretty hard. What were some of your obstacles?
Well, most of the obstacles is that I actually live in Hawaii, and Hawaii is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, which means that shipping here is brutal. And so everything has to be shipped here, and of course, nobody makes anything in the U.S., so it didn't matter whether it was coming from what we call mainland, which is Idaho or Indiana, New York or L.A., it actually had to be shipped here. So shipping tons of equipment here, very, very costly. The other challenge is that I would become, and this was unbeknownst to me initially, I would become the first African-American woman to own a manufacturing company here in the state of Hawaii. And so we've done some research, and it has actually taken us into, mainland America. And we're not certain how many African-American women have owned manufacturing companies, but we do know that the numbers are very small and very low. So being a woman in a state that's isolated and that and you're in a small market where women are not even represented in manufacturing, period, the challenges become insurmountable. Using my own funding, my husband and I, we used our savings, our investments, our retirement, and we were just adamant. And there were many times when his conversation to me was, do you think you just need to go back into practice? Because this is like starting to be difficult, and we're not certain what we're doing here. And so at any rate, That was one of the main challenges, no resources, being the lone person out here doing this type of work. And also, here becomes the other challenge. At some point, the United States was, in our past, we were an industrialized nation. That means that people worked in industry as opposed to everybody having a soft office job. And when we sent our industry out of our country, we also sent our labor force somewhere else as well. And so there were no people here who actually knew how to manufacture. So we were talking to seamstress tailors. They actually do know how to sew. Some people are learn to sew in school, at home, but there's a distinct difference between being a seamstress and a tailor, and I'll tell you how that difference is. When you're talking to a seamstress or a tailor, they're normally thinking in terms of one item per person, one garment that they're making specifically for you, the measurements. When you're talking manufacturing, if you are lucky enough to get a client, and we have had those clients where we've had to give them their money back, that want 10,000 units in a specific amount of time, and you don't have the talent and or the wherewithal to make that production, Macy's wants their order when they want it, and they're not buying onesies. So the unit is what we have to work on, and there was no place, nobody that I could draw from that had that skill and or experience. And so the challenges were insurmountable in the beginning.
But we prevail,
we continue to prevail, and we move forward. And so the message in that is not that the challenges will not exist, but the message in that is that we have to look at them as stumbling blocks in the road, on the journey. And we can't look at them as stop signs on the road.
Absolutely.
Because that's when we become discouraged and we surrender our vision and our dream over to somebody else. And China, somebody else will pick it up, okay, because the work is going to be done. One of the things that I'm most proud of, having stayed the course during that period in the manufacturing realm, was that I became the first African-American woman to make garments for the first African-American president in his home state. And so history won't change that ever. And so I became a very small minority in the people who were actually producing items for President Obama, not his work garments, but what we call our aloha pattern for him to take on vacation. And I bought fabric from around the world, from Senegal, from Ghana, from Indonesia, silks from Cambodia. And so we used those same fabrics to make his clothing line, but we will never repeat the patterns that he has in his collection. And also, he won't be able to keep the entire collection. He will either donate them to his library or his museum, and or the Smithsonian Institute is already in contact about whether they can get something similar and or the exact garments that were made for him. So, again, when you stay the course, there comes a time when the benefits start to manifest themselves. And that's where we are now, Verna. We're at the manifestation part of the journey. And it's taking It has taken time, but we have stayed the course, and we have the shapewear line. We're making our community proud right now, understanding that you should not start a manufacturing company without the talent. We now have a job training program for the Hawaiian women who are currently being released from incarceration and or single parent households, and or if they fall in what they call the the poverty line in the income bracket. And so that program is being launched as we speak, and it's being launched with a donation of the equipment that we had that we're no longer utilizing, and we're going to give that to the community because manufacturing continues, and especially apparel manufacturing needs to continue to happen in the Americas. So when we look at it, we're like, hey, we're creating jobs. We're helping people become independent, and that is the clear goal. And also, as ultimately, we helping our ladies shake their curves and comfort. And so my news has an interesting goal as we move forward.
Wow. Now, okay. So you had to, because it's so impressive. I'm just like, my mind is everywhere at this point because I'm a very visual person. So as you speak it, I'm trying to put all of this together. So there was no manufacturing. You had to actually create it yourself.
Yes. Yes. Yes,
wow.
I had to actually.
That's a task.
It was a major task. It still is. It's still burdensome in some respects. But again, we are at the the manifestation area component in our lives now. And so it's not that the sweat and the equity is finished. We're not finished giving that over because we need to have more than one of these manufacturings in the nation. We need, when we look around, and this was my argument here, which is how manufacturing became now at a focus for the Chamber of Commerce here in the state. When we look around anywhere that we go, nobody is naked. Even the people who live on the sidewalks, they are clothed, and the chain of clothing started from somewhere. No matter where it ended up, in the Salvation Army or some donation, Goodwill, but it started somewhere in a manufacturing. I tell young people now who are very much interested in designing, I say, listen, designing is wonderful, but for me, having trudged through the manufacturing aspect of the business, the design part is whimsical. They may or may not buy your design, and until you put a needle to thread to it, it really is art. But again, when we look around, nobody is naked. So we ought to get involved in this multi-trillion dollar industry since nobody in the world is naked. How about that? Like, come on now.
Yes.
Go ahead.
That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Nobody in the world is naked, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and people buy clothing from whatever end, let's just say from the economical end to the high end. People are still constantly buying clothing and clothing themselves, even when they have a closet full of clothing. Women, us, we always, that's my market. We thought that we would be headed out of the country with this campaign for the shapewear most specifically by 2017, but we are ahead of forecast, and in December we have some folks going into the continent of Africa, and they've chosen three countries to start with moving that shapewear over there, because again, women are everywhere, and we are constantly buying stuff, and while we don't welcome the position of smashing our organs and being in pain, we do like to shape our curves in comfort. And so again, my news, MINUDES, is so timely that we may have to produce in Africa, put a factory, a manufacturing company there also, as opposed to shipping and exporting and importing in and out of other areas.
That is great.
How
that's
you doing,
Vern? That's
great.
My mind
is
just like blown away by your tenacity. I mean, just staying the course. That's what's so wonderful, because it's such sound like a huge task, but you didn't give up. That's what's so great.
Couldn't.
When God plans
when
a
I
dream
say
in you. Yeah.
When I say I couldn't give up. I always ask the question, what is my assignment? And when I'm given the assignment, I never say, oh, you shouldn't have picked me for this one. I don't know why I was chosen. I never ask that question. But I follow instruction because as a three-year-old, that's what I learned to do, follow instruction to the letter. I'm not governable. I always tell people that, but I am instructional. So you can instruct me to do pretty much anything, but you can't govern me to do a lot. Well, I'm going to be dishonest, anything. So anyway, that was my assignment. It became my assignment and not because of the being the first. I had no idea that that was the case. The assignment was so that we could set an example of even though the rigidness, even though the painstaking hours, the lack of resources, the not running so smoothly, all of the other emotional components that go into that, it doesn't change the fact that people buy clothes every day.
Every day.
Every day, all day, online,
every day.
Offline, brick and mortar, it doesn't matter. And so if you are going to accept your assignment, your life assignment, you must really be prepared to move past the obstacles and not consider
absolutely.
Them stop signs.
Absolutely, absolutely. I definitely agree with you on that one. Dr. Ray, wow.
Yes.
Our time is far spent, but if you could pronounce your first name for me, because I believe I butchered it up the first time.
It is Denise. It's Denise. It's just,
oh, it's
with
Denise.
A Y,
okay.
But it's Denise.
Okay, okay. Well, Dr. Ray, if you can tell our listening audience how they can connect with you and, again, how they can purchase some of your products.
Okay, so here is, I know my ladies are out there listening, and remember, I'm instructional. So they have instructed me that the first thing that I need to say is y'all need to follow me wherever I'm going. Follow me on Twitter at MyNudes, and that's at MINUDES. Or at Lady, LADY underscore Ease, EASE. And so follow me there. Follow me on My Nudes 2015 on Instagram. And the shapewear can be purchased at MINUDES.com. That's www.MINUDES.com. Because guess what? My nudes are not your nudes. And so I again, Verna, appreciate the opportunity to chat with you this afternoon and your listeners.
It has definitely been our pleasure having you on the show and learning so much about your product and how you got there. I mean, what an amazing story. And I definitely applaud you for sticking to it and weathering the journey, going through it all in all. I definitely applaud you for not giving up. That's great. That is really fantastic. Thank you so
well, thank
very
you
much.
Very much. And you ladies, again, that want to just move your curves, we can help each other by staying on this journey together because this product was made specifically for you.
Wow. I definitely want to make sure that I go through and connect with you and put it on my Facebook page. Definitely.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to be able to get it out there. Oh, no, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. And Dr. Renee, thank you so much for being on the show. It's definitely been our pleasure having you here at OPM Live Blog Talk Radio.
You're welcome. And as we say in Hawaii, aloha.
Aloha. Thank you. Leaving you with this, coming from Isaiah, the 25th chapter and the first verse, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. This has been OPM Live Blog Talk Radio, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and leaving you with this song, Release the Sound, by Mr. John Murray. And God bless.
We sanctify.
We sanctify.
We use. Our voices sing,
our voices.